Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh yeah, yeah.
Who get overnight fortune and fame
basically fail simply because they didn't make a plan from the beginning, and some of them are just so overwhelmed by the wealth, by the fortune, by the fame, until they, you know, lose all concept of even how to handle it. I remember when the lottery started, maybe, I think maybe over 30 years ago, it may have been a little longer than that, and a guy from Baltimore hit, and that's when we just had the Maryland lottery going on, and he hit for $5 million. And at that particular time, they wasn't giving you the option to take the cash value. They basically were giving it to you in yearly lump sums of money. And he hit for like $5 million. So I think they was giving him some like $250,000 a year for 20 years. Well, he got the money, and he was broke before the year was out. What he did was, he was a married man, and he had a girlfriend. Him and his wife finally got a divorce, so he gave his wife a large sum of the money. Then him and his girlfriend, they got married. They had this big, lavish wedding and a honeymoon. And he was broke until that next year. But, you know, if he had planned a little better, I think, and it just seemed like he was so anxious and overexcited, which you can't blame a person, you know, that goes from, some of these people go from rags to riches overnight. And, you know, the first thing they're going to do is what they've always wanted to do from the beginning, is spend their money lavishly on things, you know, especially if they never had anything. And another incident, I remember a friend of mine who won a lawsuit. They basically, you know, was spending it lavishly, getting jewelry and this and that. And, well, eventually, to make a long story short, now they're basically struggling. So, you know, to go from rags to riches, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, especially if you don't know how to handle it. If you get money, mismanage it, or somebody mismanages for you, then you're back to where you started. So tonight we're going to be talking about Ted Williams, how he went from, well, I guess everybody know he went to rehab and he's left, but we don't know. I don't know what he's doing now, but I'm just going to go back a little, you know, when he did, was on that Ferris wheel, going from a street junkie to, you know, a person who everybody wanted because of his voice. And I think before he became homeless, he used to work in that business, if I'm not mistaken. But the point of the matter is that I think that he was so overwhelmed and, you know, so caught up in the fact that now he has the opportunity to get off the street and, you know, live the life, I guess, that he wanted to live. But he still had those demons to deal with as far as his drug addiction and the fact that he had been homeless for so long. I guess he, you know, he was still seeing that in the back of his mind, because when he was on Dr. Phil, and, you know, Dr. Phil's telling him, you need rehab, you need this and all this and that. Now, he may have needed rehab, as most drug addicts do. They need some type of intervention or some type of help. But I don't care how much you try to help a person, how much you try to do for a person that's a drug addict, it's not left up to you. It's left up to them. And I can say that because at one point in my life, I was a drug addict as well. And when he was asking, when Dr. Phil had told him he wanted him to leave the studio and go straight to rehab, he was sitting there, and I could see what he was saying in his mind, you know, when he told Dr. Phil, I just want to go back to Columbus to say goodbye to my grandkids. That wasn't why he wanted to go back to Columbus. He wanted to go back to Columbus to get that last high, because before I had went into rehab, I felt that same way. You know, I was making excuses why I didn't want to go that particular day. I want to go this day. I want to do this. But all for real, all I wanted to do was to have that last high. That's what I wanted to do, and that's what he wanted to do. And he was sitting up there. He still had his addiction ways lying. You know, maybe Dr. Phil couldn't see that. I don't know, but I watched the program, and I could see it in his face. You know, he was stressed out, and he was telling Dr. Phil, I'm not going to get high. I just want to go back. And then when he went back to Columbus, he did. He said he drank some champagne, which I don't believe that. I believe he drank his drink of choice, which I think is vodka. Then he told him he smoked weed. You don't go from being a crackhead to a weed head, especially if crack is your drug of choice. And his drug of choice was crack. And I'm certainly sure that that's exactly what he did when he got to Columbia. So now he gets to Columbia, and he goes into rehab. Now, mind you, I never heard him say himself that he wanted rehab. It was always the people telling him, you need to get help, you know, get yourself together, this and that. And he would say, yes, yes, yes. But I really don't think that it was in his heart, because when he went to rehab, he was even having little difficulties in rehab. But he left. He left rehab, and reasons unknown why he left. I really think he left because he wasn't ready for rehab. He probably wants, now that he's cashed in on his voice, he's probably going to, you know, work for a while. But when he gets that money, and he knows he has money where he doesn't have to scrimp and scrape, panhandle, steal, or whatever he did to get that money to get his high, he's going to continue to get high. And then the fact that his girlfriend is going to, she's not going to have to sell her body anymore. So I think that he is going to get high again. But I really don't know when it's going to happen, or it may be happening now. But just speaking on the tensions that I used to be a drug addict as well, and I know how drug addicts think. I know the things that they do. So, you know, he may have sat up there and pulled the wool over Dr. Phil's eye, telling him he wanted to go back to see his grandkids. He wasn't that interested in his grandkids when he was, you know, homeless. You know, that was just an excuse. And they'll make up excuses and say all kind of different things to, you know, get their way. So he's out of rehab, and I saw him on TMZ, and he was sort of like ducking behind this guy, and they said on TMZ somebody must have signed him up and, you know, are telling him to stay out of the public's eye because I guess they don't want to, you know, risk the chance of, I guess, him failing and, you know, knowing what's going on. But I guess we'll all find out. But Ted Williams, his family was sabotaging him as well, his children buying vodka. And they knew that he, you know, was addicted. But your family and your friends are your enablers. They are the ones who, you know, because nobody wants to see their family member hurting or wanting or in pain. So I guess his children felt, well, we'll just give him this drink this time. But still, that's not good. And then he's fighting with his daughter. That's not good. But, you know, those are just things that drug addicts go through. It's an up and down cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And if you don't get over it, it could be the end of your life cycle. So I don't know, you know, what's going to happen as far as his career, how long he's going to be clean, when he's going to relapse. I don't know, but I can guarantee this, that he's not on the up and up. and his girlfriend. She was on the show, Dr. Phil. You know, Dr. Phil, he does things that he do because he has a PhD. You know, he has all these different degrees. But I've never heard him say that he, you know, he used drugs or he knows a drug addict's mind. Because I really don't think that a person who doesn't use drugs knows a person who does use drugs mind, not unless they sit down and talk to him, and then they're really not going to know it then because they're not going to tell you everything. But a person who is a drug addict can know another person's mind. That's why Ted and his girlfriend got along so well, because they knew each other's mind. And he didn't mind her selling her body to get those drugs because that's what they do. That's what they do. And Dr. Phil, he's basically, and then I don't know if he was doing it for the notoriety, or was he, I guess he was sincere in a way, you know, because I don't think he would just give money out of his pocket like that. But, you know, it's just, that was just a whole big mess. A whole big mess to have them on television like that. And Ted, he was so under so much pressure until it was inevitable that he was going to collapse, you know. And then his girlfriend, she's sitting up there saying things like she want to be with him, and if it takes her doing what she's doing to be with him, that's what she's going to do. Then Dr. Phil tells her that he's going to do everything in his power to keep her away from him. I don't think he can do that, not unless he have her locked up somewhere, because if they want to be together, trust and believe, they're going to be together. There's nothing that Dr. Phil could do about that. But for the effort, I give him an A. So, you know, it's sad how people are pressured, you know. And Ted Williams, that was just, you know, it was beautiful as it was unfolding, you know, to see this man who's been on the street, you know, a drug addict, had 9 kids, a junkie girlfriend, and he has the most beautiful voice to go from a street person to this overnight sensation. Everybody wanted him. Everybody, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I also heard that Oprah even wanted him. So, you know, I don't know, but I do wish that he gets himself together, and I do wish that he gets, you know, a job in his field. I do wish for him and his family to become closer, and I do wish that if he wants to be with that woman, I hope she gets clean and they both get clean and they, you know, live happily ever after. But I don't know. With that being said, I think I'm going to take a little break, and I'll be right back.
Honey.
Something I have to tell you first, and it's a long story. You're not a dream, you're not an angel, you're a man. I'm not a queen, I'm a
Okay, welcome back. That's New Birth Until It's Time to Go. And tonight we're talking about overnight fortune and fame. How would you handle it? If you know of anyone who's had overnight fortune and fame or hit the lottery or an inheritance or something and they squandered it and lost it, give me a call and let's talk about it. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I do have a caller on the line. 202, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. So do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment about Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you 100% about what you said about him. He's not ready to change because that lady's going to be his downfall. And he told the world that he's not ready to change by saying he wasn't ready to leave her because he loves her. But he knows that's a way out from him stealing and her prostituting. Okay, I've been through something like that in my life, and
mm-hmm.
I was married, and I knew the only way out was to leave my husband. So that's what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
The decision, but I had to. I was trapped into being saved, and I thank God for that. And I had to look. I had to make a decision. When I saw my kids, when I was trying to get healed and run away from my bad habits and stuff, I had a decision, and that was my kid at the time because I was not able to speak to my kids or even, you know, just give them a hug. And then one night I just broke down and prayed to God, like, I can't keep on doing what I'm doing. So I made that decision, even though my husband gave me anything I wanted, money, drugs, whatever, I still made that other decision to step on the other side to cleanse my life so I can live, and I haven't looked back since.
Wow.
And that's something that I did not see in Ted when he said he wanted to go see his grandkids, and he loved that woman right then and there. I said, you know, that's going to be his downfall. And
right.
Very frightened, and you could see it. You could tell he was frightened and that he was
right
into something that he wasn't ready to do. And another thing I want to mention, he told the world, if I'm going back out there, listen to me, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm hearing some background noise. Can you turn that noise?
Okay, can you hear anything? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So if he goes
out there.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, he, you know, those were the signals that he was giving off. But Dr. Phil, you know, basically, because like I said, Dr. Phil, if he never used drugs, if he never was a drug addict, then, you know, he could only go on the stuff that was taught to him. But when you're a drug addict, you basically know what another drug addict is going through, how they're feeling, what they're thinking. You know, you mostly know that because it's in you, you know. So when he was talking to Dr. Phil, I was saying to myself, what he's really saying to Dr. Phil, I want to go back to Columbia so I can get my last high before I go to rehab. That's what he was saying to him. He wasn't interested in going back and seeing his grandchildren.
And I'm really afraid for him, and I won't be surprised if they don't find him somewhere dead because he already told you what he's going to do. So
mm-hmm.
I haven't heard from him anymore. Nobody's mentioned about him because they've given him time to hang himself. I don't look at it as being helping him. It was like pressure upon him or
right.
Was Dr. Phil's time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way I'm looking.
That's the same thing that I felt, that he was, you know, he was being pressured into going into rehab, you know, because basically a person's going to do what they want to do regardless. And he
right.
basically was pleasing Dr. Phil at that particular time, because, you know, Dr. Phil is, you know, making him feel good by saying, I'm coming out of my pocket, I'm doing this for you because I don't want you to fail, I want this and that. And then, you know, basically I'm wondering if he didn't have that voice, you know, he basically probably would still be on the street.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So basically people wanted him because he had, you know, such a good voice, and, you know, what's going through their mind, he's a moneymaker for anybody who hires him. You know,
right.
He did a commercial, a macaroni and cheese commercial, so I'm quite sure he got some money from that, you know, some residuals from that. And, you know, when he got that money, he basically, you know, was more or less tempted to, you know, go out and get high, because now he didn't have to panhandle. His girlfriend didn't have to prostitute, you know. So, because I can't see him getting that money, buying a house, getting a car, you know, doing the things that are the right things to do for somebody who would get that money who wasn't a drug addict,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, the whole thing that, you know, that bothered me was how he was just being so pressured, because I remember I was pressured myself to go into rehab. Everybody, you need to go into rehab. You need to stop doing drugs. So what did I do? I went into rehab, but before I went, I made up all these excuses. I'll go tomorrow. I don't want to go today. Why you don't want to go today? Naturally, I'm not going to tell them that I want to get high before I go in, you know, but that's what was on my mind. I wanted to get that last high before I went into rehab. So I goes into rehab, and when you're in rehab, it's almost as if you're in like a bubble. You know, you're protected. You know, you're not getting high. You're getting clean. You're eating healthy. You're going to meetings, this and that. So you become adjusted to that environment. Then when you get out, if you don't follow those rules, those 12 steps, and do all the things that you was taught while you was in rehab, you're bound to fail.
That's true.
And that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm, go on.
Okay, another thing I wanted to share while I was in rehab, he would bring cigarettes, money, and clothes, but I had to refuse that. And by me refusing that, I saved myself, and now he's 6 foot under.
Wow.
6 feet under, yeah. He didn't make it because he went back out there in the world, but see, he wanted to pull me along with him. And I refused.
Well, right, that's if they have a get high buddy, of course they want their, you know, their buddy to be with them. But my thing as far as Ted Williams is concerned, his girlfriend, you know, she's basically going to be his downfall as well as himself, because it's not like she's going to be forcing him to use any drugs, because nobody can really force you to
right.
use those drugs. It's a decision that you make on your own to use those drugs, and it's a decision you have to make on your own to stop using them. But he just, I don't know, it's, you know, like when I had went into rehab, you know, mentioning you being like in a bubble, you know, because you're not around people who get high, and, you know, you're just so protected in there that when you come out, everything's kind of strange to you, you know, so if you go around those people and those places that you visit before you went into rehab, you're bound to fail, and you can't say, well, I can be around them. I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to do this. No. That's the reason why you're not supposed to go around those people in those places where they're doing those drugs, because you will fail. Because you know what you're going to say? I can do it one time. I'm just going to do it one time. And that's all it takes, is that one time, because that one time will lead to another, 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 and another. The next thing you know, you're right back out there again on drugs.
That's so true.
Yeah, because when I was in, now let me say this, when I first went into rehab, it was so crazy, because when I was being admitted in, I didn't notice till the next day, because like I said, I got blissed before I went in. The next day, the counselor came and she says, you were so incoherent when you came in yesterday. And I don't even remember, you know, what being incoherent, you know, because maybe I don't even know what I was talking about or whatever. But, you know, that's what she had told me. And then the strangest thing, whenever I had a couple of visitors, and do you know, this is just how bad the addiction had me. I was actually begging them to bring me my drug of choice into rehab. Now, how crazy is that? How crazy is that? Yes, that is really crazy. That's just how bad, you know, I was, that addiction had taken me, you know. But when I made up my mind that, you know, I was done, I was sick and tired, and it was no more for me, I put all that in a basket and gave it to God. I went to God for my help because rehab did not help me. Those meetings didn't help me. People begging and pleading with me did not help me. I just had to give it to God. You know, and he saw in my heart that it was really what I wanted to do. Not to say that I haven't before, you know, say, I want to stop. But, you know, that was just me saying it, and I never did. But once I got really sick and tired of it, and then the fact that I had hit my bottom, I said, this is no longer for me. So it was me and God who did it, you know. Yeah. Now, I'm not knocking people who go to rehab and get help, because if they get their help like that, then, you know, that's good for them. And I'm proud of them, but rehab just was not for me. And attending those meetings was not for me. So, you know, like I said, I just got on my knees and I just gave it all to God. And I told him, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, just take this away from me. Take this craving away from me. So that's what had happened. And I know to this day I feel the same way that Ted feels, because I would never get high again, because one thing, I know it probably would kill me, and then another thing, the drugs are nothing like they used to be, you know, like they were when, you know, back in the day. You know, you didn't worry about all these different things that they're putting in the drugs now. You know, but not to say that it's anything good about drugs, because it's not. But I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, I would never get high again, because of a simple fact, if I did, I believe it would kill me. And then I'm not even, you know, interested in, you know, doing drugs.
Well, you know what's so right for me?
What?
Sorry. It took me about 22 months to complete my treatment, and everyone that said that I will not be able to make it, they are no longer here. So
mm-hmm.
I got clean and came out on my own. I was riding with a friend, and I seen this girl bending down on the ground, picking up rocks and lighting a cigarette light. And I said, what is she doing? He said, she's trying to light the rock. What is a rock? And when they explained it to me, I said, oh, Lord, I never want to get to that point. And I used everything that I was doing negative and turned it into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
It kept on going. But like those meetings, they didn't work for me either. I went to 3. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like the people that was running the meetings, how they tried to approach the females after the meetings to get with them. I didn't like
mm-hmm.
that. So
yep.
Another thing, I had to turn to the Lord and pray and say, I got to do this on my own, and I will do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what pulled me through.
Yeah, because, you know, it's got to be something that you want. You know, you
right.
can't do it for your family. You can't do it for your boyfriend. You can't. It's got to be something that you want. That's the only way you're going to be successful. That's the only way you're going to succeed, because it's something that you want. Because people who go into rehab are because I'm going because my mother getting on my nerve. I'm going because my boyfriend getting on my nerve. I'm going because my kids getting on my nerve. it's not going to work because you're only doing it to please them.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And you're going to come out, you're still going to have that hunger and that craving for those drugs, and the first little thing they say or do is going to set you off, and you're going to go right back to it. So, you know, it's best that you do it for yourself, you know. And some people, you know, you have people that don't have a bottom, because I know there are people that I used to get high with back in the day that are still getting high, And that's, you know, that's really bad, still getting high. And I know this one guy that we used to get high back in the day. His parents died, left him a house. The house was paid for. All he had to do was pay the taxes on it. Do you know he lost the house? And when I saw him, I said, well, what happened to the house? You know, he said, you know what happened. I'm still doing that stuff. I said, that's pitiful.
So do you think this is mentally, because I know they're not feeling the same feeling, because like I had made a poster back in the days, there's no hope for dopes, because
mm-hmm.
it's nothing like that first high.
And right.
That's what's killing them. They chasing around looking for that first high that they never gonna get.
Right.
Anymore
first high
out of life. And it
right.
kills them chasing it.
Chasing a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on, because that very first high is the only high that you're going to have. Anything else is not going to be like it, because the very first time I smoked crack, to this day I can't really explain how I felt, but it only hit me that one time. I've only had that feeling that one time. So, you know, you're basically chasing a ghost, trying to get that same high, but you never will. The same with any type of a drug. You get that one hit, and the rest is just chasing a ghost.
That's true. That's true. I'd like to thank you for letting me share this on your blog station tonight, and I'll give any other callers a chance to speak. And you have spoken with Miss Butterfly.
Huh?
Yeah, been speaking with Miss Butterfly.
Oh, how are you, Miss Butterfly?
I'm good. I just have more and more to share, you know, because I have this good feeling about myself. I like to share things and help other people. So I can't do it all in one night or in 45 minutes. So maybe I'll join you on another talk show.
Well, if you have any more to say, you're more than welcome to.
Okay.
You know, because I don't have any more callers on at this particular time. But if you have more to share, we'd love to hear it, you know, because like you said, it may help somebody. You know, I wish that I could have a personal conversation with Ted Williams. You know, I really do. Because, you know, like I said, I know where he's going. I know where he's been, you know, so if I could have a personal conversation with him, you know, I wouldn't want to badger him or, you know, tell him he needs rehab or anything like that. You know, just talk to him one-on-one, you know, let him know what, you know, happened in my life and, you know, just have a general conversation with him. You know,
right.
Just to talk to him and, you know, let him know that I know, you know, what he's going through and, you know, I wouldn't hold anything against him, you know, because he's just not ready.
Right.
And you can't force a person to do something that they don't want to do. You cannot do that. So,
no.
Huh?
He was just looking at it. No more prostitution for my young lady. No more stealing.
Panhandling.
Yeah, panhandling and living in a cardboard box, which was awful. You know, but that's his choice of life. That's what he want to go back to. So sometimes we pull ourselves down trying to help others, because that's what happened to me also.
Mm-hmm.
trying to help others. Next thing I know, it was a little bit too much on me, and then I turn around, I'm on it.
Somebody that like can that, happen.
Yeah, it had to be somebody that's really hard on him. You know, not talking like Dr. Phil. You know, from street talk.
That's why I said I would love to sit down and talk with him, you know, because Dr. Phil, he may have all them bachelor's degrees, or degrees in this and degrees in that. I got a DD degree, a degree in drugology. Drugology, that's a new word, y'all.
That's a
but,
good one.
You know, I don't know. And then he going to send that guy with him. Obviously, the guy, you know, it was a waste of time to send the guy with him because he still got high. You see what I'm saying?
Just like his family, set him up.
And then, like I said, family members and friends, they're basically your enablers. Your enablers, so, you know, he needs to be taken out of that equation. He needs to be, like, somewhere, you know, maybe by himself, away from his family, maybe in a different state or city or, you know, something. But, you know, I honestly and truthfully hope that he wakes up, gets himself together, because he can go somewhere in life. He definitely can, because he can do voiceovers and, you know, I mean, it's unlimited things he can do with his voice, really, you know. And if I had a voice like that and people wanted me, oh, my goodness. But I don't know. It's kind of sad, but, you know, it's basically it's all up to him. And hopefully he'll get it together. If not, then we may pick up the paper one day and, you know, read Ted Williams' they found his body somewhere, which I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But you never know. So we're going to take another break, and we'll be back.
Don't you
Alrighty then. We first had on Maze, Never Let You Down, and New Birth, Been Such a Long Time. It's slowly winding down to the last 3 minutes of the show, and I really thank everybody for coming out. I thank Black Man and my caller and everybody else who's listening. And I want to say that I really wish the best for Ted Williams. I know he can do it. He will do it. But that's when he wants to do it, because I did it when I wanted to do it, and I've been drug-free for almost 30 years, proud of it, and I'm not even looking back. My next show is going to be Valentine's Day. I'm looking for poets, rappers, singers, and anybody who wants to call in. It's going to be I'm playing a lot of slow jams, love songs, and that's Valentine's Day. That show is at 10:30. And on the 19th, I'm having a birthday party on my show for Smokey Robinson. Everybody know that's my baby daddy. And my next show on the 25th, I'm having Happy Hour. So I wish you guys come back. I hope everybody have a beautiful weekend. It's going to be the weather here. It's going to be really nice. I'm doing a book signing Sunday at the Panorama Room. That's in Southeast Washington, D.C. for all you Washingtonians that are listening. Or if you want to come from out of town, you're more than welcome to come. The Panorama Room is on Morris Road in Southeast Washington, D.C. And I will be doing a book signing there Sunday from 9 until I guess until it's over. I really don't know when it's over, but if you want to come out and purchase a book or books, feel free. I'll be there. That's the Panorama Room in Southeast Washington, D.C. And, you know, like I said, Ted Williams is out there doing his thing, but like I also said, hopefully he'll get better. And when he does, you know, he'll have that story to tell. With that being said, hey, Penelope, thanks for dropping in, girlfriend. Sorry you got here a little late, but at least you got here. Okay, so everybody have a good night. And see you guys next week. Okay, good night. Good night.